This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Here we go. Hour number three, the Rob Brown Show carries on. Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo, and you. Be a part of the radio program, 844-326-3663. That is the number to the Hub City Spartan Burger text line. You call that number, you're getting on the air, you text that number. We will read it on the air, like Kane, who texted the show and said, excited to be listening to the best every sports show in the South. Your takes on the CFP are great, and I have nothing to comment on it. Lonzo is killing it on sports flashes and production. There you have it. Not just a compliment from Kane, but proof that I will read nice things about Lonzo off the text line.
Wow.
I needed it to be proven.
And yeah, now it's proven. My favorite texts that you don't read are, Lonzo is right.
Well, I got to get him to read them, man.
Well, okay. All right. Well, I haven't made many comments today because I'm dying over here. So, I mean, there's that.
You are falling apart.
I am.
It's noticeable.
It's either I didn't get rid of the last illness or it's a new one. I don't know, but I am coughing my head off. And at some point, if I can't stop coughing, you're just going to have to come around here and I'm just going to leave because it's. I hope you can't hear it on the show.
So far, so good.
Okay,
we'll see if you pull through.
Because it's more about I don't want to mess the show up.
Fair enough, and I appreciate that. It is 8:02 in the morning. Time for the Audio Blitz, the best audio that we have picked up over the past 24 hours since the last time we did the Audio Blitz. Let's do a couple of them here. Stephen Vogt is the head coach, the manager of the Cleveland Guardians, former player, moved into the manager's office. Well, over the last couple of years, baseball has started doing this thing on broadcast that there's a part of me that loves it and a part of me that hates it, where they mic up players and managers during the game, and they actually do in-game interviews. This is something they did during spring training a few years ago, and there was a bump in viewership when they would do these things. It retained viewership because we as fans, we actually like to get to know the human side of the athletes and the coaches that we all follow. So they have started throwing mics on players and on coaches and doing in-game interviews. They were doing one on Mother's Day, and Stephen Vogt was the subject of the interview. They're live in the game. And one of the things that's been popping up recently is guest appearances in these live interviews.
Dude 100% forgot to do that. 100%.
I'm going to tell you what happened. He got off that interview after she said, did you remember to schedule the kid's dentist appointment and put those dates on the calendar? I'm going to guarantee you that the second that interview was over, he called over one of his trainers. He's like, hey, kid, come here. He said, I need you to go right now, and I need you to get me those dentist appointments scheduled. I don't care if it's 7:30 at night. You figure out a way to get those things scheduled and put on our Google calendar so that when I get home, I don't get busted up for lying to my wife on national television like I'm going to.
So you talked about celebrities jumping in on something. I thought it was Charlotte Flair. She sounds just like Charlotte Flair.
I'm going to say someone that Stephen Vogt is far more afraid of, his own wife. There's part of me that loves this because, again, I do love, and especially with baseball where there's so much downtime, even with the pitch clock, there's so much downtime where stuff's not happening. They did one with Francisco Lindor the other day, and they mic'd up his wife who was at the game, and she was ribbing him while he was on second. But there was also a moment during that in-game infield interview where there was a ground ball hit at Francisco Lindor that he had to try to turn to on. Now, she had just asked him like a second before that, and I should have pulled this audio too and played it, and I just didn't. But she asked him a second before that, what is tougher, turning a high-pressure double play or changing dirty poopy diapers? And Francisco was like, oh, turning double plays. I've been doing it my whole career. The dirty poopy diapers are new to me. I'm having to learn, blah, blah, blah. And then a double play ball gets hit at him, and he, like, you can see he has to shift out of PR, talking to my wife on national television mode, and turn back into the baseball player. So as a baseball guy, as a get-off-my-lawn guy, I'm like, Dad, I really love taking players out of the game. What happens if that's a hard-hit ground ball, chance to turn two, end the inning, and Lindor commits an error, just routine error in that spot? You know, Mets fans are going to be like, why are you distracting my guy? Why don't you have him locked in? But on the other hand, it was really entertaining.
I'll say, can't you talk and do other things at the same time?
I've never had to talk and also try to field a baseball coming at me at 92 miles an hour bouncing off the ground.
Are you ever afraid that your wife will call into this show and I will put up a fake name just so she can call you out?
Not really, but I also know that talking is this job. Right? Like, that is this job. So if she called in to give me hell on the radio, it would be part of the job. And I know you goobers would all be laughing your ass off at it. But no, that doesn't matter. But again, I don't have a 92 mile an hour rock headed at my face while I also try to make up an excuse for why I didn't put an appointment on the Google Calendar that we share.
I'll just say that words from over here fly pretty fast, maybe even faster than a 92-mile-an-hour fastball.
Yeah, words don't hit you in the nose and break it, though. They just make you feel that way.
I don't know. There are some days.
We have talked a number of times about the face of the league debate in the NBA, and one of the guys who has been propped up as a potential heir to that particular throne is Anthony Edwards. Now, I don't really have a lot of interest in giving this guy a bunch of airtime, but I'm going to here because I heard this take and I had a strong reaction, but I also recognize it is a very personal reaction. I wonder how many, if any of you feel the same way. This, I'm sorry to you all, is Kendrick Perkins on what it takes to be the face of the league. K-Perk says, if you want to be the face of the league, you have to be a role model. And part of being a role model is being a family man, having a wife, having kids, doing the whole white picket fence thing. I as a gut reaction, and again, I'm an open book to you guys. I'm the same guy on the air as I am off it. I do not have kids. I do not want kids. My wife and I decided we just do not want kids. Does that mean that, aside from the obvious complete lack of ability, does that mean I couldn't be the face of the league because I don't have... I think that's a dumb take.
I was going to say lack of ability as far as children goes. But I just want to say Kendrick Perkins, what he said was a lie. He said nothing happened. They were family men. Kobe was not.
Then he was again.
Yeah, a much publicized thing happened. So if you'd left that name out of there, then maybe I would have agreed to a point.
Yeah, I mean, like a lot of the guys he mentioned, not all of them, but a lot of the guys that he mentioned, obviously it went on to have issues, like in that particular department.
In Kobe's case, it happened while he was playing, while he was, you know, fairly young and at the height of his career. So I would have left that name out. I get why you're—I don't want to say offended, but
no,
why
it's
you
not
don't
offended.
Like that.
I just disagree.
It almost comes across like you're offended.
No, it's not offended because again, listen, I
promise
you.
Here's what you want as the face of the league. You want them to be a non-political. You want them to appeal to both sides of the aisle, to every race, to every creed, to every everything, which is hard to do, and most of those guys did that.
I would make the argument. So first off, 100% not offended because I promise you there's nothing that K-Perk or anybody else can say to me as somebody who has decided that I am not going to have children. I promise you, you can't say anything worse to me than my grandmother, my Irish Catholic grandmother hasn't given me hell about, right? Like, it just can't happen. Number two, the only thing I would say if I was offended about anything was this concept that you can't be a role model unless you are family man with kids and doing all the right things. I disagree with that entirely as well. Like, I'm going to go Kurt Angle here. I don't consider myself a role model. But I would say, of the multitude of dudes that I've worked with in this industry, yeah, I would put myself in the top percentile of good dudes in this industry. There's a lot of them who just ain't, but when they get on the air, they've got this fake persona, right? I'm a good person. I try to live my life the right way. So this concept that, well, if you don't have kids, you can't be a good person and you got to be a good guy to be the face of the league. I just think that's dumb. I think you've got to be a basketball player. Only by that.
Okay.
Only by that.
Because your emotion is rising right now, showing how offended you really
only
are.
Because I have been called every name under the sun because I don't want kids. And that's a bad thing. Like, that's just a bad person. And I disagree with that take. I think you need a few things to be face of the league. Number one, I think you've got to be the best basketball player in the NBA. I don't think anybody who is considered second best can be face. You can be a face, but the face of the league has got to be the best basketball player. I think they've got to have success, right? And that could be in the form of multiple MVPs, multiple championships, whatever. But you got to have some success. And I think Lonzo hit on the most important part, which is you've got to play to everybody. You got to follow the Jordan philosophy of Republicans buy sneakers too. You've got to be able to play it down the fence. Again, I could look at and make the LeBron James was face of the league for a hot minute, right?
Yeah.
Okay. LeBron James is very clearly not apolitical or politically disguised.
He was for a long period of time, and he lost a lot of people when he said you're next to the cop.
I wouldn't disagree.
He lost a lot of people there.
I wouldn't disagree. In fact, I would agree with that, which is probably why, also aside from the fact that he's 41 and he just ain't the same player he used to be, he has kind of taken a step back. I would make the argument that.
What an opportunity you had to play a certain clip, but you don't have it ready.
Yeah, I don't have it ready. The Steph Curry. Family guy, got kids. They're absolutely adorable. Doesn't really, outside of the, post-pandemic era where everybody in sports was outspoken about something, Steph doesn't really get all super involved, or at least not in a highly publicized way. I would argue that he's probably in that discussion of face of the league for the past few years. Ant-Man being next, I don't know a damn thing about where Ant-Man stands politically. I don't. I know who he is as a basketball player and not much else.
Good.
And that, to me, justifies him being in that discussion. All right, let's get one or two more in here before we take a break. The tush push discussion and debate from a week and a half or so ago at the owners' meetings. The NFL does not get the Packers, and now we know it's the NFL's mandate, of banning the tush push. Jeremy Fowler of ESPN was at those meetings and explained a little bit about what went on behind the scenes. So Jeremy Fowler says that the competition committee made the argument, the health and safety committee made the argument, that the NFL made the argument, but it was the impassioned speech from Jeffrey Lurie and it was the speech from Travis Kelce, who said, look, as the guy who was the spear point of this play for a few years, it is not a health and safety concern to us, the players. And that seems to be what pushed him over the edge. Now, we had the conversation that of the teams that voted not to ban the tush push, there were 10 of them. They needed 24 yeses. They got 22. Of the 10, there was only one team that voted not to ban who plays the Eagles for sure this year, and that was the Detroit Lions. Every other team on the Eagles schedule this year, including all three divisional opponents, did vote to ban the play. But it was the speech from Lurie and it was the speech from Kelce, according to Jeremy Fowler, that kind of pushed the ban out of the NFL for now. He did point out that they will likely revisit it at the March meetings at the conclusion of next season, and I'll keep it a buck. I have no idea if it gets banned then or not. I have no idea if that is going to be a multiple weeks worth of conversation topic like it was this time around. I think largely that will depend on if the Eagles are successful this season or not, whether it is defending or just winning the AFC or the NFC or winning the division or whatever. That is going to go a long way into determining if this comes up for conversation again. All I can say is I thought what Fowler said in the media, in the immediate, in the meat and potatoes of that take, which is Jeff Lurie got up there and said, for us to figure a thing out, become excellent at the thing, become proficient at the team, at the thing, execute the thing at a very high level, and then just have you guys say, and frankly, make up reasons why we can't do it anymore, and it's because y'all can't figure out how to stop it. That is outside the spirit of competition in the NFL. And while I hate that phrase in sports, because I avoid sports cliches, and that's absolutely one of them, while I hate sports cliches, I feel like it is appropriately used that time.
I think it stays until the quarterback retires.
Because
he is the most effective guy at that.
I would argue the only effective guy.
Well, other guys have I don't know if it's like 50% or maybe a little bit more. We saw Josh Allen couldn't do it.
Sure.
So I think it's more about the quarterback, and when he's gone, it will fade away.
You may not be wrong. I would also not be shocked in the next couple of years if we see a couple of college quarterbacks who are maybe, you know, good, maybe even great, but not first round draft pick caliber quarterbacks that just live on the squat rack to try to replicate that, right? Like, if I can go squat a Hyundai like Jalen Hurts can, and this play doesn't get banned, maybe I'm that next guy. I don't have to be an excellent throw. Jalen Hurts is a good passer of the football. He's not elite by any stretch of the imagination, but that's not why Jalen Hurts is Jalen Hurts. Maybe another guy coming out of college who is a good passer of the football but not great goes, if I can figure out how to squat a Ford Bronco, then I could be the next tush-push QB. All right, when we come back, got a few more clips I'll play for you, and we will react to the Rob Brown Show rolls on. It is the Fan Upstate.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Got a few more clips to play for you here. Let's start with this one. The OG Triangle Media crew went and found an interesting little set of coincidences. They are, of course, coincidences and nothing more, but coincidences nonetheless. And I think that these coincidences may be something that you, Carolina fans, may find very interesting. Where did my mouse go to click the daggum button? Coincidence was the last word there that I cut off.
You know, you can find those things everywhere. And what made them go look for that and do it that way? Are they Panther fans?
Don't think so. This is something that I have seen as a discussion around a lot of NFL circles. We've talked about this. We are pattern seeking creatures. Our success as a species for the last 500,000 ish years was because we are capable of recognizing patterns and then making predictions that lead to favorable outcomes for the species based on recognizing those patterns and reacting to them. We love patterns as people, and so we always go looking for these weird little coincidences. And I think that's why some people are very interested in all of this. It's just because that is now a pattern that has happened multiple times and is set up to happen again. So my question is, the Carolina Panthers are 80-1 to win the NFC. Not win the Super Bowl, but win the NFC and go to the Super Bowl. Could I interest you in a beer money bet for Carolina to win the NFC in Dave Canales' second year at an 80-1 payout.
As a co-host on a nationally syndicated betting show, I am just curious if you're willing to drop some cash on this.
This is, for me, without a doubt, it is 100% a coincidence. This is 100% not something that I would make a decision that is actually important to my life in, based on, oh, well, you know, the last time that I wore a blue shirt and got a job offer, it led to whatever, and I'm wearing a blue shirt today. You know, I would never let that affect my day-to-day actually important decision-making process. I'm absolutely throwing a six-pack's worth on this. If I throw $10 at this bet and it pays out 80-1 and the coincidence strikes again, that's an $800 payout at the end of the season. Yeah, I'm going to throw a tenner at this and hope that history repeats itself again, because I would then have money.
It doesn't mean much to your paycheck, but, you know, you could, you know, buy lunch or something like that.
Buddy, I drop a tenner and win 800. Daddy's buying more than lunch. Mama's getting taken out to a nice steak and seafood dinner that night, without a doubt. All right, let's get one or two more in here before we get up out of here. Here is one. Let's do two food takes real quick back to back. Scott Van Pelt and Stanford Steve had a debate on the SVP pod the other day. Do you have a strong position on that debate?
I got to say, I didn't care either way. One thing about waffles, they're chewy, so if you're in a mood for chewy, pancakes usually are not. But First Watch came out with a pumpkin pancake that is the most delicious pancake I've ever had in my entire life. It's seasonal. I'm not pumpkin spice guy, but I'm looking forward to the return of that pumpkin pancake. Hopefully it comes back, and that would sway me to the pancake side.
I am down for a novelty cake or two. I am down. I mean, I am absolutely the grown-up that will 1,000% get myself a chocolate chip pancake if that is on the menu, because shut up, I'm going to die one day. I'm going to enjoy the ride to that point. I will say that if you give me the option between the two, I'm probably going waffle every time. I think there's probably a little bit more versatility with a pancake. I believe that you can do the pancake in different ways. I actually have a recipe for a pancake pocket that I learned how to make not too long ago, where I actually form a pancake as like a gyro kind of shell, and then you can put eggs and sausage and bacon and whatever inside of it, and I think that's great. But at the end of the day, I just feel like the waffle carries a little bit more weight to it, and on top
literally,
of that,
yeah. But the thing is, you got to work more for a waffle, because you have to work your fork a little bit harder to get through the waffle. You don't have to do that with the pancake. So I'm going to go just for effort, not having to put as much effort, and pancake or waffle is kind of a lazy breakfast food. I got to go with pancake, because and you've got a better chance of eating the pancake before it gets cold than you do the waffle, because of how much work you got to put into the waffle.
I get that take. As somebody who loves crawfish more than most other foods, I'm also a dude who's not afraid to work a little extra if I know the food payoff is going to be worth it. I will say the context of this discussion for me is if I go out to get breakfast, because if I'm at the crib making my own breakfast, I'm not making either one of these things. If I'm going to fire up some sort of appliance to make a breakfast, I'm throwing down some sausage, bacon, and eggs on the stovetop and making myself an all-American. All right, real quick. There has been a discussion on the internet for a number of years now surrounding a very contentious question, and that is a hot dog a sandwich? Does a hot dog meet the qualification and standards to be called a sandwich, or is it stand alone? And this conversation has divided the nation, and the people who are, yes, it's a sandwich, and the people who are, no, it is not a sandwich, it's a hot dog, stand in violent opposition to each other. Came across this clip where a couple of the boys were rolling around just goofing off, having a good time, and this conversation came up. And I thought, What an interesting point. I don't know that it has swayed me to one side or the other, but I have not heard anybody else bring up this point on the hot dog v. sandwich debate. First off, can I just say that there is not much on planet Earth that makes me happier than the fellas just being the fellas and erupting because dude made a good hot dog is not a sandwich debate point. But for the record, it did kind of hit me for like a second where I was like, okay, all right.
See, I don't know. At what point does the wiener become a hot dog? Because it's a wiener. And once it's heated, does it become a hot dog? Or is it, I mean, when does the transformation happen?
See, I don't think there is one.
Because I think the scientific term, the technical term, the thing that it was originally created for in Germany was a wiener.
A Frankfurter. To me, the hot dog is the hot dog from the moment it is formed into a hot dog. When they grind up all the hot dog stuff and they put it into that casing and they spin it around on the edge and they make it a hot dog, it's a hot dog. And it doesn't matter if you eat it by itself, if you cut it up and you put it into beans, if you put it on a slice of white bread, if you put it on a hoagie roll, if you put it on a brat bun, on a hot dog bun, doesn't matter if you go with chili and cheese, it doesn't matter if you go ketchup and mustard, relish and onions, none of that matters. Right. The dog is a dog regardless of what is around it, and therefore, it is not a sandwich.
Quick question. So yesterday, we had leftover brats from Memorial Day.
Brat's not a dog.
Give me a moment here. So I took the bratwurst, I put them in a tortilla shell and made them into burritos. Were they a burrito or were they a bratwurst?
I mean, if it was a hot dog, I would say that's still a hot dog. It's just a differently, uniquely prepared hot dog, right? If I take a hot dog and I slice it up and I put it into a big pile of baked beans, which was a delicacy for Rob Brown as a child, the old Franks and beans, that's still a hot dog. Now it's baked beans with a hot dog in it. So I think my man's got a good point here. I think he's got a good point. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back here in a minute. Got a few more bits of sound that are actually sports related that we will respond to, as well as get back into that conversation about Greg Sankey and the SEC head football coaches. Lane Kiffin had a take we will address, and we might even talk a little college baseball as regionals are just 2 days away. The Rob Brown Show is on the Fan Upstate.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
A few minutes ago, I asked you the question with the remarkable coincidences that have shaped up this year. Twice now, the Carolina Panthers have opened a season with the Jacksonville Jaguars, coming off of a losing season the year before, and done so in the same year that the Ohio State Buckeyes became national champions. The two times that it happened previously, the Carolina Panthers went to the Super Bowl the next year, both times, long shot odds to make that happen. Now, we had a little fun with that a couple of segments ago where I said, are you willing to throw a beer money bet at 80-1 odds that Carolina makes it to the Super Bowl and renews that set of coincidences one more year again? Well, now let's talk a little bit of Panther football. Rashad Beard will be by tomorrow at this exact time, as a matter of fact, to catch up and talk some Panther football. But while we wait for Rashad tomorrow, we can talk about it here. OTAs are underway for the Carolina Panthers. Day one taking place yesterday. Obviously, we're not going to see a lot out of the gate. For most of these guys, it's the first time that they have done a full team workout since the season came to its conclusion last year. So the first couple of days are just about getting out there, doing some conditioning, getting back into rhythm and routine, getting your chemistry and your timing back, yada, yada, yada. But there are some interesting things that are discussions about what Carolina is going to look like this year. One of the things that both Bryce Young, my special baby boy, BY, and his head coach Dave Canales said, and I think that this is important. I think this is something that I have leaned on for the past year when I was the only Bryce Young defender in, it felt like, the upstate, but certainly the only one on the radio.
Maybe the world.
Maybe, no, not the world. Rashad yeah. was with me.
Yeah, maybe the, yeah, it was, okay. Not in your way.
As one of the very, 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 very limited number of Bryce Young defenders over the past couple of years, there is one crux to that argument that I have said a few times is a reason not to write off Bryce Young. And that obviously is the coaching carousel that he has gone through since he showed up. Well, this offseason is different than the last offseason for Bryce Young, because for the first time in his NFL career, BY gets to come into an OTA and offseason workouts with his team, not having to learn a brand new system, not having to learn a brand new language, not having to process an entirely new playbook at a point in time that is about team building, chemistry building, getting on the same page, ingraining the offense into the guys who are new to the team, rookies, free agents, trade acquisitions, etc., etc., etc. BY, as QB1, gets to walk out onto the field in OTAs and already know the playbook, already know the game plan, already know the language, already know the lingo, already know what the offense is he's going to be running. And obviously, there are going to be some wrinkles that are going to be added. We'll get to that here in just a moment from now. But by and large, BY comes into the season knowing what the Carolina Panthers are, knowing what the Carolina Panther offense is going to be, knowing what he is going to be. So this offseason for BY is not about building and learning. It is about tweaking and perfecting. This is interesting. It is interesting to me because Dave Canales has already spoken on this a little bit. When asked about the differences in the Panther offense from last year to this year, Dave Canales said after OTA practice yesterday, quote, "It's subtle changes. I think we have a great foundation of things. That was the first year, which was to get the core established, to get the words and all those things in place, and then some adjustments based on our skill, the skill position players, the runners, the receivers, JT, and then just kind of becoming us and honing in on some of the things we saw in the self-scout. Like, these are concepts we feel really confident with, that we run really well. We can do the adjustments off of it. So now it's about adding little tools, things that Bryce can do with the line of scrimmage, things that he can do to tweak and change based on what the defense is doing." And of course, obviously, that is step one of the process, which must be trusted. BY, 10 touchdowns, both rushing and passing combined in the final 3 weeks of the season with no turnovers in that time. He took over as the starter in week 8. He had 26 big-time throws, according to the Pro Football Focus metric, if you utilize that, ties him for most in the league from week 8 to the end of the season with Joey B. Joe Burrow. And most importantly, of those weeks, he led the team on game-winning or tying drives 6 times out of 9 weeks. So the goal this year is, how do we get ourselves in a position where we don't need game winning or tying drive 6 out of 9 weeks? How do we create a situation where we're putting other people into the role of needing game-winning or game-tying drives. It's not us every time. BY after OTAs yesterday, quote, I think it's just being able to build off the foundation we laid last year. Around this time last year, obviously it's a new system, new offense, so we're getting the basics. We're ironing out the day one first stuff and just the basics of the offense. Now, me too, we get to start so much further ahead. A lot of returning guys, a lot of familiar faces, and that's a lot of kudos to the guys coming in, the free agents, the rookies that are coming in. Let's start at a master's level. Let's make sure that we're more advanced. And for them, this is their first time in the system, and you wouldn't be able to tell by a lot of guys. That speaks to their hard work, and it's exciting to see us start a lot more ahead this year. I think that's within the system. There's so many wrinkles and so many little things that build off of each other that the coaching staff has done a great job and has had a lot of success throughout the years. Obviously, in Seattle, they had a ton of time together, and you could see a lot of stuff year two, three, four, and there's a lot of stuff that we're able to talk about and mention last year that you know was all right. I don't know if we're there, and for us, it's exciting to be able to now have an opportunity to grow towards that and start a lot further so we can reach those little wrinkles. There's definitely a lot of stuff that we are excited about. Xavier Leggett spoke out. He kept his short and sweet. He said about Bryce Young, quote, I feel like he's still carrying that flame from throughout the middle of the season to the end of last year, end quote. Look, forget the coincidences, and that's all a fun little conversation that makes for great, you know, 60-second social media clips. That's all well and good and fun. And sure, I'm going to put a 10 spot down on Carolina to reach the Super Bowl because if it doesn't hit, I'm out 10 bucks, and I had a fun little ticket for admission for a fun ride for a few weeks. And if it does hit, Daddy's taking Mama out to a good dinner and buying himself a very nice bottle of bourbon at the end of the year. Put all that to the side and let's just talk football. You're talking about a cat who for the final 9 weeks of the season went on game-winning or tying drive six times. In the final 3 weeks of the season was responsible directly for 10 touchdowns, zero turnovers in that span. This is why I've said a number of times, wins and losses aren't a quarterback stat. Look at the quarterback metrics. By every quarterback stat, every quarterback metric, we are talking about passing accuracy, we are talking about explosive plays, we are talking about precision, we are talking about touchdown to turnover ratio, we are talking about quarterback metrics. By every quarterback metric, not only was Bryce Young better at the end of last year, but by every quarterback metric, despite what the record would say, by every quarterback metric, Bryce Young was one of the best six quarterbacks in the league during the second half of the season last year. One of the best in the league in terms of completion percentage, in terms of turnovers, in terms of touchdown to turnover ratio, in terms of yards gained on the ground, yards gained through the air. One of the best five to seven quarterbacks in the NFL. And as Rashad Beard and I have both beaten you over the head with through the end of last year and coming through this offseason, that includes having Xavier Leggett dealing with the dropsies down the stretch last year. That includes your ex-wide receiver, Jalen Coker, being a true rookie. That includes all of these different hindrances to the progression of Bryce Young last year, all of which are out of the way now. Well, I say all of which are out of the way. We'll see if XL's got the hands back. If XL's got the hands back, that's a game changer. We will see if Jalen Coker in year two is a little bit more comfortable as the X. Tedarrell McMillan getting drafted out of Arizona is a guy that the draft scouts absolutely fell in love with. We will see if he is him, as so many of them have argued that he is. If Tet McMillan does become that Johnny Wilson big end zone monster that as long as you throw it within the width of a school bus in any given direction, he can contort the body and go get the rock. If all of these things work out, how are you not optimistic? I think it's still fair to ask questions about the defense. You did add the two edge rushers. We wanted edge rushers out of this draft. You got two out of them, not just two out of them, but you got two Southeastern Conference edge rushers, two edge rushers with numbers behind them, two edge rushers coming off of teams at A&M and Tennessee that were very productive as passing defenses last year, and that, as you all know, starts with the rush. So there are reasons to be maybe not as optimistic about the defense as the offense, but there are reasons to be optimistic about the defense. But I think it is the offense this year that you have to be the most optimistic about. Again, final 6 weeks of the season last year, Bryce Young was one of the best six or seven quarterbacks in the NFL. That is statistically speaking. In terms of the actual quarterback stats, not wins and losses, which is not a quarterback stat, but in terms of quarterback metrics, Bryce Young was one of the best in the game for the final stretch of the season last year. And I don't have any reason to think that with an offseason where he has the same head coach, where he has the same offensive coordinator, where he has the same playbook, where he has the same wide receiver core with the exception of one addition of the most sought-after wide receiver in this draft, not named Travis Hunter, yeah, I'm optimistic about this team. Told Ryan and PJ last night, I'm betting the over. Already have bet the over. Carolina's win total was 6.5. That was 6.5 with a minus 140 to the over. Now, if you're not a big gambling guy, that number didn't mean anything to you, but let me tell you what it does mean in the eyes of a big gambling guy. Minus money means a favorite. Minus money means the further, the bigger that minus number is, the more likely that thing is to happen. So if they put it on a number that they're like, well, 50% it goes over, 50% it goes under, ordinarily the odds for those two bets are going to match. They're going to be like minus 110 to each, right? Minus 110 over, minus 110 over, under. That means they think it could go either direction. If a bet is minus 140 one direction, that means they think it's more likely it's going to be that direction. In this case, the over than the under. Vegas thinks 6.5 wins is happening for Carolina.
Because they're smart enough to look at that defense, and you got to wonder, does the personnel match the scheme that the defensive coordinator is trying to play? I don't know. Never been a fan of the guy. And if the Panthers lose the first 5 or 6 games, I hope they don't. If they do, they get rid of the defensive coordinator. Because as good as things look on paper for the offense, they don't look nearly as good on the defense. And Bryce Young could have an MVP type year, but if the defense plays like it's been playing, it's not going to matter. They're going to have about the same amount of wins as they had last year.
I think a lot of that is going to come down to, is the offense scoring points? Is the offense gaining yardage? Is the offense maintaining drives? Do they have long time of possession? Are they keeping the other offense on the bench? Like, all of these factors will go into that. I don't disagree, and I would even say that this year, more than any other year's career, I think it is important that Ejiro Evero matches his system to the players, not the other way around. Right. And I think we will know within, as Lonzo said, those first 5 weeks. Honestly, I've already said those first 3 weeks. Carolina goes 2-3. They got a good shot. If they can go 3-5 in the first 5 weeks, that's a playoff team. That's a playoff team if they start 3-5.
Especially
but it will
in the NFC South for sure.
It will, because they only have one NFC South game in that first 5 games. And then they don't play another one until like week 12 or something dumb like that. So you're going to get your metrics.
If I recall, they play some pretty good teams, though, in the first little bit.
They do.
And if they are able to win those games, then they should be able to beat the teams in the South.
2 out of 3 to open the season. 3 out of 5 to open the season. If 3 out of 5 to open the season go into the win category, this team will win that division, and I will make that bet. But right now, beer money bet on them to win the NFC, because screw you guys, I think it's awesome. Back after this, Lonzo about to seduce you emotionally with this sports flash.
Only if you're seduced by someone who probably needs NyQuil. The New York Knicks are one game from elimination after a 130-121 Pacers win in Game 4. Tyrese Halliburton had a triple-double with 32 and 11 of 23 shooting, with 15 assists and a dozen boards, and Pascal Siakam added 30 on 11 of 21. Game 5 is tomorrow night. The Edmonton Oilers have the Dallas Stars on the brink of elimination after a 4-1 win last night. The Oilers took a 2-1 lead after goals from Leon Draisaitl and I know, and Corey Perry, and scored 2 empty netters in the final 2.5 minutes to seal the win. The Atlanta Braves dropped Game 1 of a 3-game road set against Philadelphia 2-0. Spencer Strider went 4.2 innings, giving up 1 hit and 1 run, while striking out 7. The Braves had just 5 hits and left 10 runners on base. That's not good. Hour number 4 of the Rob Brown Show coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.